Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We will talk to Bud Shaw, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Bud Shaw. Bud, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Ken, I have one quick question for you that's way off topic.
Throw it at me, bud.
Is that hair? Was that haircut for real that I saw?
That's a real haircut. It's a real bad haircut.
Huh.
You
know what? It looks good on you, though.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And I've actually been a little bit depressed because my 4-year-old and 3-year-old thought it was really funny. My one, like, he's going to be one on Sunday. He didn't recognize me, so he starts like crying. So if I wear a, if I wear a hat, he recognizes me and everything's fine. If I don't wear a hat, I think he gets a little bit nervous. And I'm also hearing this. So by the way, Bud, real quick, they're going to have.
That's what happened with Baker Mayfield's teammates last year in the game. He shaved 3 times
in the Denver game. They didn't know who he was.
No wonder they lost.
Hey,
no
goes
kidding.
Deshaun Kizer throwing to us right now? What's going on here? So, Bud, is it true? Like DeWine said it yesterday, they're not having a meeting today, or they're not having a briefing today. They're having a briefing tomorrow, and he might make an announcement on what they plan to do coming up at the end of the month about restaurants and the whatnot, and even sooner than the end of the month or something like that, and that includes barbershops.
Yeah, believe me, I'll be one of the first in line.
Because I'm going to tell you this. If I find out that all I had to do was just wait a few more weeks and I could have got my hair actually cut in a reasonable fashion that makes me look like an upstanding member of society, like I want to get DeWine on the show himself just to say he got me worked into a shoot and then hang
up
on us.
I'll tell you what, when you get older, it doesn't get any better because I've got not much growing on top, but everything growing on the sides.
Oh,
and I was flipping around with my remote last night, and I came across a Simpsons episode, and I felt like I was looking in a mirror when I saw Krusty the Clown. So there's a lot of tough looks out there right now.
Bud Shaw joining us on the show. Lima, go right on ahead.
Well, we're starting out by talking about Francisco Lindor because we had some comments by Keith Law we played from yesterday on Bull and Fox where – he said from his sources, he's hearing that the Indians would like to make a bigger, better, nicer offer to him, but that he has ceased wanting to hear that stuff. So negotiations, I guess, would essentially be off. Where are you on this at this point, especially as there's no baseball being played and we don't even know what kind of a season we're going to have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard, even harder to imagine Frankie Lindor in an Indians uniform now. I mean, we're talking about a team that probably would have had to stretch beyond its means to make a deal that he would even look at compared to what the market could offer. And now you're an Indians organization faced coming out of the COVID-19 crisis. I mean, what kind of attendance do you see them having when they come back? We could be talking another year from now or more. Before things are, people feel comfortable going to games again in big groups. So I don't see, I understand why the Indians would want to make more of an offer to him. I mean, he's a special, special player. But I understand that I think the chances are really slim, that even slimmer that he would be in an Indians uniform in the future. And if I'm him, I mean, I think he's one of the, I don't know, I mean, we could get caught up in whether he's, would you guys say top 5 player, top 7 player, top 3 player? I think top 5 players there, if not better than that. And if I get a chance to become a free agent at this prime age, I would want to hear what everybody has to say too. So I'm not too surprised. I never put a lot of stock in his, you know, his contention that, you know, he wants to be in Cleveland and this is, you know, that matters. I believe him when he says it. I just don't think it matters.
Bud, do you think this is the beginning of a PR strike now on the Indians side of things where, hey, we have to start easing people into the understanding he's not going to be here, so we have to try to make it seem like we've done everything we can?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not, I think if it's not their intent, I think it will serve that purpose. I mean, let's face it, this season, whatever it's going to look like, is already truncated and compromised and whatever else you want to call it. If I were them, knowing what his – if in fact, what Keith says is true, that he's telling them he's not going to really talk about contract until he goes through free agency, what are the chances he's going to listen to what's out there on the market and come back to the Indians and say, no, you're the team I want to be with? You know, I once he sees what's out there contract-wise, he's not coming back. So if I were them, I would speed – I would accelerate the decision to trade him, whether it's, you know, I don't know that right now is the best time because there's so much, you know, unsettled business in Major League Baseball. But I think, you know, by the end of this season, I would certainly look to deal him.
A lot of fans are going to take this as an excuse, and to some degree it absolutely is. But, you know, you look at baseball and you see the way that, and I know it was like a couple million dollars of a difference, but people have demonized in some cases. And some people have just forgiven and moved on and really liked him. But there's been people who certainly can't stand Jim Thome, can't stand that he has a statue here, can't stand that he left, have still never forgiven him for leaving, where they broke up a World Series organization. And I see Francisco Lindor, and I go, well, you did play for a World Series with a World Series organization. Now, if I find out it's $100 million at some point, well, that's it. But, boy, there's a lot more acceptance now that players are going to leave for just way more money, and we don't demonize them the way we used to. Is that a baseball problem, not necessarily just an Indians problem?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think there's something to that. I mean, the players that have stayed where they grew up, basically, I mean, how many can you count on one hand? What are we talking, like Mike Trout? I mean, recently, guys that have said, hey, I'll take the money that, you know, that my you know, the Angels want to offer me, and I'm not going to look around. So I just think people have come to, you know, the realization that it's just, I never understood the Jim Thome thing. At the same time, the people were beating up the organization for, you know, not being not throwing money around and being cheap and all that. They still beat up a guy who decided to go somewhere else for more money. So I think what Lindor's got going for him is that everybody knows how special he is. And I don't think people will hold it against him as much if he leaves, because I think there's that feeling that the Dolans, you know, can't play with the big boys, and they don't think that Lindor should, you know, take a huge pay cut or hometown discount or whatever you want to call it to stay here. I think, and plus he's been a guy who has just embraced, you know, everything and everybody in this town and plays with a big smile on his face. I think that helps too, as opposed to a guy like Albert when he left, you know.
All right, Bud Shaw, join us on the hotline. We've been having fun with the Korean Baseball Organization, which launched yesterday, bat flips galore. And the question is, does that make you more optimistic about not only the Indians, but Major League Baseball getting going on a time frame that they've spelled out or potentially spelled out, which could be July 1st.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Les about this last night, and he asked me if I'd watched any of it, and I said I hadn't. But I thought that I might watch it someday, like when, you know, those days when you can't find the remote and it ends up under a couch cushion somewhere and an hour's gone by and whatever's on TV is on TV. That's about my interest level in Korean baseball. But I do think it's instructive to look at how they handle coming back from this, from the COVID-19 postponement, because if you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the way their rule in that league now is that if a player tests positive, they're shutting down, right, for 2 or 3 weeks. Is that how you guys understand
it? The whole league?
Yeah.
See, I was a little bit confused because I know Bundesliga, is making an announcement like today or something whether or not they're going to come back on the 15th, and they've already had like 11 people test positive for coronavirus. And like, we'll quarantine those guys. We might still play soccer then, and that'll be fine. So I think it's just depending on what country you're in, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and maybe baseball has taken those things into consideration. But I know as of right now, the players union hasn't even received a plan or a proposal from Major League Baseball yet. So it doesn't seem as imminent to me that they're going to come back. I believe that they will at some point, but I don't think we're talking late June, early July, because I still think there's too much to figure out yet.
Bud Shaw joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Okay, what if the Browns signed Myles Garrett to an extension today? $25 million a year. What would you think?
Well, I think the guy's going to, if he stays on the field, I think he's going to have 20 sacks in a season. Maybe I'm more easily impressed these days because I saw that box jump of his on social media. But I just think he's a tremendous talent. And this has been my argument about not signing guys to guys that will command big extensions that aren't necessarily, young superstars, and guys like Trent Williams and even maybe Clowney, although I guess age-wise he's a little bit younger. Because I think you're going to need money to sign guys like this. And hopefully, from a Browns fan standpoint, a year from now they'll be looking at Baker Mayfield and saying, this guy just had a tremendous season, and this is the guy that, we want to commit hundreds of millions of dollars to or whatever for his career. So I think Garrett is the guy that I would pay whatever it takes to keep him here, because I think he's that special.
Do you think people are going to be annoyed because if they were to sign him, I mean, you know that there would be some serious hit pieces on the Cleveland Browns for signing, basically rewarding a guy who got suspended last year for what he got suspended for?
Yeah, there'd be some of that, but let's face it. I mean, you have to look at a guy's whole body of work, and that was a really bad night. I mean, there's no getting around that, what that was. But I think that we have seen this guy for a bigger sample size now in a number of years he's been here that you can, I think you can trust that's not going to happen again. And that there's, how's that for famous last words? Remind me I said that if it happens again.
But I'm curious, when I'm looking at these signings of, or I should say not signings, but the fact that they picked up the option on Njoku and Higgins, that normally doesn't happen. Two guys that were getting healthy scratches. I know it was a different coach and a different GM, but normally teams kind of punt on those guys. Are you surprised at all that they're still here?
I think it just speaks to what people in the inside the team knew about Njoku and Freddie and Higgins and Freddie. I just think there was a really bad relationship there between some players and the head coach. And I'm not saying it was the coach's fault or the player's fault. But I do think that Njoku and Higgins both just did not want to play for Freddie Kitchens. And I'm not saying that they dogged it because of it. I'm just saying that there was a lot of animosity back and forth between that head coach and those particular players. And I think in this case, they look at Njoku and they say, maybe it wasn't all his fault, and we're going to give it a try and see what we have here. Cause he's obviously a great athlete who, has shown occasionally why they drafted him. And I would try to stick with him too, if I could, at least another year to see whether a new coaching staff can get something out of him.
Bud Shaw joining us on the show. You make that point. I the only thing I fear, and I just have to keep bringing up the other side, I just don't want to put all our eggs in the basket of, oh, it was all Freddie Kitchen's fault, because even I, and I want to hold their feet to the fire and say, listen, you guys have playoff talent. You guys should at least be approaching the playoffs here. But I still don't want to just say that everything's fixed now that Freddie Kitchens is gone, and then go out there week one, look like garbage, and then go, oh, boy, this is going to be a long season.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Ken, because, I mean, it's kind of disingenuous to say, as we all were saying last year, hey, Freddie Kitchens is a new head coach. It's going to take a while. He might not have everything figured out right away. and then find out that he absolutely did not have a lot figured out, and then turn around and say, but Kevin Stefanski will be fine, you know, especially under these circumstances with, you know, the way they've had to go about the draft from a distance, from, you know, the basically working as a new staff through Zoom calls. I mean, these things are things, you know, these are hurdles that that a really experienced staff that has been together is going to have some trouble with, let alone a staff that's just new to each other. So I do think that it's a mistake if everybody says, oh, it was all Freddie's fault last year, and this new coach is going to be the guy who comes in and changes things. I think he's going to be a good coach, but I don't know what I'm basing that on, other than he comes across like a, you know, real organized guy, and people who've known him in Minnesota have a lot of good things to say about him. But we know from Freddie, you know, you can find past coaches that say a lot of good things about, and did say a lot of good things about Freddie going into that job. So, yeah, it's a mistake to think that everything's going to be fixed just because Freddie Kitchens isn't here, especially under these unusual circumstances.
But if you could change one thing in your lifetime in Cleveland sports, what would it be?
Wow. I would say Game 7 of the 97 World Series. Wow. You know, the outcome of that. I just thought that was a, you know, after missing in 95 and then coming back with a team that no one thought was nearly as good in a season that Mike Hargrove was under the gun early, to have come out of nowhere. I don't want to say nowhere because that was a talented team, but to come out at 2 years after missing out and winning a title for Cleveland would have been, you know, a really cool thing. I still think the 90s in Cleveland covering baseball was maybe the most fun I ever had as a sports writer. And I would have liked to seen people get rewarded in this town by an Indians title.
Bud, I can't thank you enough for the time. We can't thank you enough for the time. And I love that answer you just gave me. Thank you very much, Bud.
I always enjoy it with you guys. Take care.
You too. The great Bud Shaw joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 216-578-0092. Bud might have stole my thunder, I got to say it, to Lyman next, because we almost got in a bit of a tussle yesterday on the phone. If I could change one thing in Cleveland sports for our own good, I'd change this. That segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.